It's good to see you this morning. Thank you for being here today. And we a lot of prayers are going up today for our families. I come to you this morning as a pastor with a heavy heart because a lot of things happened that I wish that I could change, but it doesn't. I can't change them. We've lost a lot of people in the last 6 months or year here at this church. And God knows what he's doing. I guess heaven needed some Northview people to help get it straight. And so anyway, my heart's heavy today. And so it's been a long week, especially for the family. She went into the hospital earlier this week and she had had some treatments. They had found two more spots on her. They at one time declared her cancer-free and then found two more spots. And then one thing led to another, and the treatment, this last treatment really, really done a number on her. So let's just continue to lift them up. And it's, you know, I love our church here. I love our family here. We're all family. And when one's hurt, the other's hurt. And so keep us in your prayers, and as soon as we find out something about details, we'll let everybody know. But with that in mind, the Lord had been dealing with me about the situations of our world. I thank God I serve a relevant God, a God that speaks to where I am right now. It's not just a history book, even though it is history. It's a God that's relevant. Even though the Bible was written many, many years ago, it's relevant today. And we are in a time of heaviness in America today, a time of depression. And so the Lord had begun to lead me on depression several weeks ago. And I began to do some research on it and found through my research that we are really living in a time when people are fighting depression like never before. It's an epidemic. It's the third leading cause of death in America today is depression. And a lot of people are fighting today. And the Lord just simply gave me a word, and I wrote it down. He said, he will see you through. Whatever you're dealing with today, and you say, well, I'm not depressed, so this message won't mean anything to me. Maybe you're not, and maybe it won't, but I bet you'll know somebody that is depressed, or I bet you'll come up with someone or come to know somebody that's dealing with it. And so when I began to study the Word of God, I was, you know, surprised, and also through history, people that have battled depression, some names that we know, household names that battled depression. And I look at people in the Bible, great people of God that battled depression. And so I was led to Psalm 42. So if you'll turn there with me, I want to talk about David a little bit. Now, David, a lot of people like to pick on David because he fell with Bathsheba, but every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But one thing I say about David is David was real. He wrote how he felt, good or bad. And so I want to talk about depression this morning. And as we read here in Psalm 42, David was majorly depressed. He had a lot to go through. I asked the Lord, I want to preach a happy sermon today. I want to preach something happy. But he gave me my assignment that we need to know what we're dealing with. We all want to minister to somebody. We all want to be effective today. Well, you got to understand where people are. And so I want you to stay tuned to this message because I believe it can help you or help somebody you know. Psalm 42, I just want to read verse 5 right now, and then we'll study the scripture as we go. Now, we won't get through all this today, but I want to begin to lay a foundation and that God's going to see us through. So, Psalm 42, verse 5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" So, David is speaking to himself right now. Why are you so cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help in his countenance. But look at the first part of that. Why are you cast down, soul? Why? What is wrong with me? That's basically what he's saying. We've seen a TV commercial that's come on the TV. It's not a humorous commercial at all. It's about a senior citizen that's fallen on the ground, and they say, "I've fallen and I can't get up." And they have the life alert thing that you can press, and somebody be there to help you, and that's great. But I want to say to you today, as the Lord has put on my heart, that there's a lot of people that are falling and they can't get up. They may not have fallen physically, but emotionally. We're living in a time where many, many people, not only the people in the world, but the people in the church, are dealing with emotional battles like never before. Sometimes we get down and it seems like we're never going to get up. I'm not just talking about feeling bad. I'm not just talking about feeling bad about certain things. There are times when we all get discouraged. Discouragement's a part of life. We all deal with that, and then we move on. Maybe you're discouraged about a job or what people said or some situation in your life. But I want to talk today. I want to open your heart up today to a real need of ministry, and that is to touch people that are dealing with depression. Depression is a deep mood of despair, a deep heaviness. We're living in a generation now that fights depression. I'm talking about that black fog that just hangs over your head and no sunshine. And this is not just older people or middle-aged people, but we see it in the school system today. Young people that have to have a pill to be able to accept life. That's the situation that we're in today. And I want to break this down, and let's talk about, first of all, the serious problem of depression. And I want to tell you that depression is serious. A lot of people will hear depression and they'll just, "Oh, get over it. Get over it." But I want to tell you that Jesus loves us all. And Jesus loves us when we're going through problems. And everybody's problem may be different, but don't you get this? It is serious to God. Depression is a serious, serious matter that we need to deal with. Verse 5 says, David says, "My, why are you cast down, O my soul? You are disquieted within me. You're emotionally a mess on the inside. And you're falling apart." Have you ever had those days when it just seemed like your insides were falling apart? There have been times when I've laid my hand on my chest or my stomach or whatever, and I say, "Lord, I need some strength on the inside." But David is talking to himself right here. I begin to do some research on this. The National Institute of Mental Health says that depression is a $1 billion industry. A $1 billion industry. I've already alluded to you. It's the third leading cause of death in America is depression. People that cannot cheer up. Some people that really don't care, they just say, "Just cheer up." Sometimes it's not as easy as just cheering up. Sometimes it's a battle. It's a battle of depression. And so in my research, I found that there are different lists that can categorize if you are dealing with depression or if you are depressed. And so I wrote them down, a couple of lists. One list said that depression is a passive or listless feeling. Passive or listless feeling. It's a continual feeling of sadness. You cannot rise above sadness. It's an attitude of nothing feels good or worth feeling good about. These are a list from the National Institute of Mental Health that gives us characteristics of people that are dealing with this disease and this feeling. The next thing was a constant state of hopelessness. You know, you've talked to those people before that says, "Well, there's a storm coming today, but tomorrow's supposed to be sunshine," but in their eyes, it's never sunshine. a feeling that no one cares and no one understands, a feeling that no one accepts me, a continual worry or anxiety. Another list was this, and it said you can check yourself to see if you are depressed. This list says this, number one, they've lost all incentive. You've thrown in the towel. You've lost your desire to achieve or to accomplish anything. Repeated spells of crying for no reason. Just cry. Deep sob crying. The other said, waking up at night and can't go back to sleep. Just a continual waking up of heaviness. The next one was dreading to face the day. No matter what's going on for that day, you just dread it. Another one was unspecific pain or just aching all over, continually, all the time, just aching pain. The next one was thinking about death. Now, these are things that they just hadn't thought about. These are things that's actually been told, and they've researched and found. These are symptoms of people that are dealing with depression. Thinking about death. We live in a nation now that's been consumed with death. Look at the TV shows that's on TV now. It's Walking Dead. I can't even hardly bear the commercial of that thing. Much less sit there and watch it all the way through. Suicidal thoughts. This nation, open up your ear and listen. This nation is dealing with suicide at unprecedented levels, and it's all the way down into adolescence. Suicidal thoughts. Deep sighs. Just heavy feelings. I've had some of those. But it says you need to watch yourself. Distrust your own wisdom. You second guess yourself. You have problems with decisions. Being irritable, cross with others, and have no absolutely reason why you should be, but you're just irritable and cross with others. I'm not going to say nothing about that. And then the last one on this list, and the list goes on and on and on, but unable to be enthusiastic about anything. Are we here to minister to people? Are we here to touch people's lives? If so, we got to know where they are. This is where they are. How can we get up when we're down? It's a very, very serious illness today. It's a killer disease. There are people who go to hospitals for this. And as I said, even death. There are people in God's Word that dealt with depression. So you see, God's people are not immune from depression. Just to name a few, in Numbers 11 through 16, Moses asked God to kill him. Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 3, he asked God to take his life. Elijah, in 1 Kings 19 and 4, he sat up under a juniper tree and had wished that he was dead. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 1:8, it said he despaired of life. John, the forerunner of Jesus, was so low that at one time in Matthew 11, verses 2 through 3, he even doubted that Jesus was the Messiah. These were men that we got in this word right here that were great men of God, but they dealt with depression. And I don't believe that God allowed me to preach this message because nobody here needs it. I believe you're here because you need to hear this, or you know somebody that needs it. Amen? The men of history. Men like great Charles Spurgeon. When I read this, I just kind of sat back and thought about it a minute. The great preacher of all times, the great Charles Spurgeon. It was said that in his real life, he had times of depression. Winston Churchill, who was with England through the Second World War, had fits of depression. And at times it was noted that when he was battling with depression, he would close up shop and he would go home. And it was said that He said that there was a black dog that chased him. And when that black dog would chase him, there were days when he could do nothing but shut the door of the shop and go home. Men of history, David said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" Now David had a reason to be depressed, and he was. You remember his son Absalom. He had lost his son Absalom. You know, you remember Absalom. David's whole family began to fall apart. He was at one time at the height of his career, and everything was going good. But then things happened, and situations changed, and David's life became one big mess. He lost his son Absalom, so he knows what it is to lose a family member. David said at one time that he had wished that he had died instead of Absalom. "Lord, I wish that you'd have took me instead of my son." David sinned against God like all of us have. He had lost a child. He had lost, his daughter had been raped. His wife was assaulted. His nation that he was king over was in turmoil. And so he writes Psalms 42. Psalm 42 is a clinical case of depression. David wrote this psalm out of his heart. Aren't you glad, Northview people, today that we serve a God that gave us a book that deals with real life? Amen? I'm glad he did. I want to just give you a couple things. I'm going to just give you one this morning, and then we'll continue next week. But I want to talk about depression, the serious problem of depression. But I want to categorize it like this. First of all, I want to talk about spiritual dryness. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. I want you to see, here's what was going on. He said, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks." That's another interpretation is, "The deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee." This verse begins with him running. He's running from himself. He's running from situations. His heart is just palpitating day and night, day and night. Anxiety is overwhelming him. And he says, "As the deer is panting by the water, so am I." Look what he said here in verse 2. "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Now what's going on right here? Number one, he feels like God is way off. Depression will tell you that nobody cares. Depression will tell you that there's no help for you. There's no hope for you. You are all alone. I want to tell you, if you ever hear that voice, you know that voice is not coming from God. Because God promised in His Word He would never leave us. Verse 9, let me slip on there, but we'll come back. Let me slip on down to verse 9 real quick. And I want you to see, "I will say unto the Lord, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" God has not forgotten him, but he was feeling that God had forgotten him. And depression will make you feel that you're all alone. One of the first things that depression wants you to do is separate from everybody and everything and get into a dark room and shut the blinds and be by yourself. How many of you know when you are feeling that desperation come on you, that is a cry for help because you need somebody beyond yourself. You need some help. Amen? Don't allow that to come on you. But I'm telling you, every one of us have had those days when we just want to get away from everybody and everything. Now there's some healthiness about getting alone and that kind of thing, but when you shut off everybody and everything and God's voice and God's word from you, that is a critical position. You remember I told you a few weeks ago where the It was a 7-year-old, 8-year-old boy hung himself on his double bed, on his bunk bed by his belt because he was being bullied at school. Do you think he was depressed? I heard this week where a grown man, a father of a 7-year-old boy, shot him in the face because he was mad at it. Do you think we need to preach messages like this today? Do you think people need to wake up and realize that we're living in a serious time? I also heard this week, somewhere in North Carolina, that a man and a woman that were together had a 7-year-old little boy and tortured him to death and threw him to the pigs. When the deputies got there, they found remains of the little boy in the pig pen. That's not a horror story on TV. That's happening right here under our nose. I'm thinking it was in Wilson or somewhere in that area, but it was close by. I want to tell you, there's a serious problem with depression today. And we are dealing, and don't think that it can't come to your house. Don't think it won't knock on the door of your children and your husband and your wife and your family. Don't think that you're immune to it, because I just read to you men of God who were men of God, but yet they dealt with depression. So you need to be aware. When you feel like that God is way far off, let that be alert. Let me give you one more, and then we'll go home. Verse 3. Go back to verse 3 of Psalm 42. My tears have been my meat day and night, while continually saying to me, his tears continually said unto him, where are you, God? You remember the National Institute said that one of the signs was uncontrollable weeping? Well, that's what's going on here today. But he's crying continually to the point that it's out of control, and his tears are meat to him. He's lost his desire to eat. He's lost his desire to even exist. And all he can do is cry. It's a natural thing to cry. It's a part of being emotional. We are emotional people. I cry. And how many of you cry at a Lifetime movie? We all do. It's natural. There's a part of us, we need to cry. We macho supermen, we need to cry sometimes. But then there's a point when it goes too far and you just lost control and your emotional state is out of control and you just cry continually. And I'm going to stop right here. We are in an epidemic in America today of many, many situations. Our young people are under attack. When I read that about the little boy being thrown to the pigs, I got to tell you something. I went a couple days before I could even kind of get myself together. It bothered me that bad. And I think about the torment, the torture that little fellow went through before he died. We're in a serious time in America. And I am preaching this to you. I would rather preach something exciting and happy and joyful. But God has commanded me to preach this unto you. And my assignment is to teach you and train you so that you can be aware when that ugly thing comes to your house called depression. Because we all have to deal with it. And I pray for our schools. My wife tells me stories every day of little kindergartners that cannot exist without medication. And I know, and I thank God for doctors, and I thank God for medication. I'll tell you that. The Bible says all good things come from God, and I believe that God has godly doctors that help us to get on our way. But I want to tell you there's a problem, and it's out of control. And only Jesus can bring it into control. My job is to help make you aware that you're not depressed, but you may know someone that is. You may have a family member, a work person at work or whatever, that's dealing with depression, a loss. They just feel like the world has turned their backs on them, and God has turned their backs on them. You see, David here is a little mad at God sometimes, and I tell you, we all get a little mad at God sometimes because we don't understand. And I pray when this message is finished that you will understand a little bit better what's going on in your life. But we're in a serious time. But how many of you know that God is in control? How many of you know that there's things that I'm telling you that we can't control, but God can? So I want us to stand to our feet today, and I'd like for you to take the hand of the one beside of you. I got a lot more information to share with you over these past several weeks, and I got a lot more stuff to share with you, and I pray that you will take this to heart and that God will lead you to somebody that's battling depression. Father, in the name of Jesus today, we are here out of obedience to you. Now, Lord, I pray that you will anoint me with the words that I need to say to enlighten your people. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that all the people in our world that right now that are dealing with depression could see their way out. Lord, there may be people under my voice right now. There may be church members that are not here today that are dealing with depression. Lord, may we be enlightened to be able to share with them. Lord, if there's someone here today that feels brokenhearted or feels like there's no way out, Father, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would go into their heart and touch them and strengthen them and let them know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we pray for all the little children today that are suffering and going through battles because of a mom and a dad that's depressed. We pray for all the little children today that have depression over their lives and they don't know what to do or how to handle it. Lord, we pray that the church would rise up strong and powerful today as never before. And Father, we would minister to these that are broken. For Jesus, you said you came to heal the brokenhearted. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. God bless you today.